Quick moment. Lord, now we would ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord. So as we're trying our best to navigate through this dark, dying, fallen, decaying world, this orderly system of deception, Lord, as we're trying our best to navigate daily, to walk right, to live right, to talk right, Lord, we need your word today more than ever. Speak to us through your word. Don't just give us information, Lord. We're praying for revelation that leads to transformation. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Lift the scales off our eyes so we can see what thus says the Lord. We thank you for it and we bless you for it in advance. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I did say Ephesians 3 and 20. I did say that. Amen. Ephesians 3 and 20. All right, that's where we'll start. And then the men, we have a fellowship next week. And what I'm thinking, since it's football season, amen. We'll just meet over at my house and we'll just put on the TV, watch some football and have some hot wings or something like that. Maybe John to bring a few steaks or something, but we'll meet at my house after service next week and just have a fellowship. Amen. 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 So, man, that's how we'll do it. I'll send out a text this week, and that's
no
how.
No well-done steaks, man.
No well-done?
We're not
complaining
about it.
Amen. So, man, we'll do something like that. It's a conference coming up this month also that I'd like for us to attend. So we have a little fellowship, and then the conference in January. Didn't want us to all, you know, go to the conference, plan on it. So we'll talk about that and then just some more things for the new year coming up as men. Men, I couldn't do it without you. I love my sisters, but I love having my strong men in the church. I love looking out and seeing you guys. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 3 and 20. Paul says, now unto him, this is part of the prayer that we've been praying. So add this. This is part of the prayer. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So there's a power that works within us, family, which we know, which is the Holy Spirit, and it can do exceedingly above all that we could ask or think. That's why we have no reason to be jealous of anyone, because the power that works in us can do above all that we could ask or think. But if you're not asking and thinking, that's on you. If you got so much going on that you can't ask or think of things for God to do in your life, then that's on you. It says, so the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So the church should be a reflection of the glory of God. The church should be a reflection of the grace of God. The church should be a reflection of the love of God. The church should be the reflection of the faith of God and the faith in God. That's what we should be. We should be a reflection. So here we are. We remember Ephesians talks about the wealth of the believer. So this is part of the wealth, how spiritually rich we are. All the things that money can't buy, all we could ask or think, the love, the joy, the peace, the mercy, the goodness, the meekness, the temperance, the faith, the self-control, all the things that money can't buy, we're rich in that. Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus. Matter of fact, he's talking while he is locked up in prison. And he's trying to convince them how good God is while he's in prison. He's saying, you guys just don't know what you have and you don't know how spiritually rich you are. You should not be living like spiritual beggars or vagabonds because you're so rich in God. He's saying this while he's locked up. He's saying that you should also reflect the goodness of God in the church. So he talks about the wealth of the believer. Then he talks about the walk of the believer and the warfare that the believer is entangled in. And that's the book of Ephesians. Matter of fact, I was talking with Dr. West. Most of you know Dr. West. And he was the one, he and his ministry, I was fortunate enough to go to Israel and Egypt with. And we followed the footsteps of Jesus and Moses back in 2008. They just returned from Israel and had a great time. But he said in September or October, we're going to try and go and follow the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. So we're going to go to Ephesus and Philippi and the Isle of Patmos where John was exiled at, Rome where Paul was in prison. So I'll be bringing more information about that, family, and those of you. I know Israel was a little scary. Folks was, I don't want to go over there. But I live in Compton. Okay, all right. Go figure that one out. You live in Compton, you're afraid to go to Israel. Trust me, Compton is a lot tougher than Israel. I'm telling you that right now. Good grief. Y'all was killing me with that. So I'll get the information, and hopefully we can, those of you that would love to go, it covers Ephesus, all the places Paul went, Rome and Italy. And that'll be in September, October. So I'll get more information, but I'd love for you all that would like to go, start putting our dollars away so that we can go and follow the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. Make a note of that also, that these are real places. As we read the Bible, this is not mythology. It's not stuff that's made up. These are real places that you can actually go. And as a believer and as a pastor, I definitely love to go because it just brings all this to light. When you see the prison where Paul was at when he was writing these letters, the Isle of Patmos where John was exiled, where he got the revelation to write the book of Revelations, it's all still there. Amen. Don't let people tell you that you just believing in something that you can't see. Yes, it's physical evidence. You can actually see, you can feel, you can touch it. It is there. God is real. Amen. So here we go. Look at 4:1. Now we transition to 4:1, and he's leaving the wealth of the believer to talk about the walk of the believer. He's saying, family, we're so spiritually rich beyond what you could even ask or think. You have no idea what God can do through the Holy Spirit that works in you. But you got to ask, you got to think. And then he says, verse 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I'm begging you that you live this thing. The only thing that would stop you from getting everything that God has for you, if you're not living this thing, he said, I'm begging you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Notice he said, the prisoner of the Lord, although he was imprisoned by, some believe it was Nero, the Roman emperor at the time, he said, I'm a prisoner. I'm in here for serving the Lord. It's the only reason that I'm locked up, because I'm serving it. The man has nothing to do where I am. I'm right here because God wants me here. Make a note. You are where you are right now because that's where God wants you. And then make a note. Don't become a prisoner to anything but Jesus Christ. Don't be a slave to anything but Jesus Christ. Not to stuff, not to money, not to drugs or alcohol or sex or any of that. Don't let anything control you but Jesus Christ. So gossip and lies and all, don't let that stuff control you. Be a prisoner to God. And he said, that's why I'm begging you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So when you break down the word worthy, it's a couple of meanings. One, it talks about a balance, and it talks about becoming. So he says you should walk a balanced life. It gives you the visual of a scale. And he's saying walk worthy, a balanced life. It's speaking mentally, physically, and spiritually balanced life. It even hints about health. So we're not going to go there around the holidays. I'm not going to mess with y'all about the health too much. and what you're eating these holidays, all right? But it does speak to that, of what we do with our temple. But then he's saying, it talks about the scale, talks about doctrine and practice. And he's saying you should be balanced. What you know is how you should live. So it's the problem comes in where I know a lot of scriptures, but I live raggedy. See, that scale is off. He's saying you're not balanced. That's what he's telling the church in Ephesus. He's saying, some of you guys are really sharp and you know a lot of word, but when I look at your life, it's very raggedy. And he says, others of you, you say, well, look, I'm living right. I don't need to study the word. I got that. I don't need to come to church. I got this. I'm living right. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I know enough. I went to Sunday school when I was a kid. I got this thing. I don't need to pray. I don't need to fast. I don't need to grow. I don't need to study. If I said, no, it's, you're way off balance. He said, you got what you know and how you live should line up. That's the balance. When he says you live worthy of the calling, it should be, he's talking of a balanced scale. Amen. It even talks about how you would, gives a visual of how you get dressed, and you shouldn't wear, you shouldn't spiritually be wearing plaids and stripes. Okay, I tried to do a little visual with polka dots and stripes, but it's working. Amen. All right. Yeah, I didn't know it was going to work. I thought it wasn't going to work, but it's working for me this morning. All right. Y'all too much. And anyway, but you shouldn't spiritually, if we could see you spiritually, you're dressed in plaids and stripes going, man, that ain't working, man. That's the balance that it's talking about. We're way out of balance. And Paul says, I'm begging you. I'm in jail. If you could know what I know about the wealth and the walk and the warfare that you're in, I'm begging you, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Then it even taps into the warfare, the spiritual warfare. This one verse is just loaded with insight and revelation. It taps into the warfare of how we can be so far off balance. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, this is what I mean. Turn with me to Matthew 17, I believe it is. Make sure it's... Yeah, Matthew 17, 14. And how the warfare, spiritual influences throw us off balance. And we see things and we just say, oh, that person's kind of off. But it's the demonic influence that throws society off balance. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, how else can somebody just walk into a place and shoot up everybody? They're way off balance. They're way off the chart. But it's not just them. They're being influenced in the midst of the spiritual warfare by demonic influences. That's a Matthew 17. Matthew 17, 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. Somebody say amen. Anybody who have a son, say amen. We can relate right off the top. Son, just kidding. All right. But here's the extreme and the warfare that the demonic influence with him being possessed has pushed him all the way off the edge. And he's lost it. And people just don't lose it, their influence. See, whether it's alcoholism, where they just, you can't have a drink and just a drink a glass of wine and put it down. You have to go all the way over. You can't just take one pill for your backache. You got to take everything and go all the way over. You just can't go on a diet. You got to go bulimic and anorexic. You go all the way over. It's the extreme. It's the demonic influence. It always pushes you over. When we're trying to live a balanced life, we're trying. And then you got the influences that'll push you all the way. I got to be obsessed with everything. And it just shows that it's you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, which we find out in Ephesians 6. And so that's why it's important for us to stay close to God and understand that we have to be balanced of what we're learning and how we're living, and then how we're living and what we're learning. That's why you can't be out of fellowship too long, because then it's all gets blurred and oh, it's okay. Man, everybody's doing it. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And you so far off balance in the spiritual realm, you don't even realize it. But it's easy. Well, you know, it's just like the students would tell me. You know, it's always one in the crowd when, which I'm in high school talking about getting high and all this kind of stuff. You want to do anything cool with your life, stay away from drugs and alcohol. Well, you know, Mr. Carter, my uncle, he get high. He bought a house. They always want to bring up one example. You know, like it's okay. Like, you know, I can get high. Trying to tell you, I can get high. I can have a house. I can have a car. I got a good job. And see, it's the extreme. It's always something trying to tell you that it's off balance and that it's okay to be off balance. That's what the world will tell you, man. Do your thing, man. All that stuff. You're taking it too close. Yeah. I mean, you're just going overboard. It's not that serious. You need to lighten up. And Paul is saying, I'm begging you. Paul is saying, I'm begging you. You're going to live beneath what God has for you if you don't get yourself in balance. Your doctrine and practice should never clash. It should never clash. So here we are. And then as you're staying close to God, you have to realize that you're in a spiritual warfare and the demonic influence wants you to stay out of balance. So here we are. And they, verse 17, 14 again. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth in the fire and often into the water. He is just one extreme to the next. Why? Because he's possessed, because he has demonic influences. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus said unto him, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. It wasn't just him having a hard time. It was the influences that was on him, the demonic, devilish influences that was keeping him off balance. They keep you and I off balance. That keeps us obsessed. Try saying that three times fast. They keep us obsessed with stuff, and we just can't do it. We can't do a little. We can't. Some of us, we don't need to mess with anything because we don't know how to stop. You don't need to. We're sharing when our purpose and purity class with the young ladies this morning, we were in 1 Corinthians 10 and the five things that kept the children of Israel from the promise and the purpose that God had with them. And one of them was tempting or testing God. Is I always got to be on the edge to see what I can get away with. And you just can't live. That's way out of balance. You can't live like that. I can't be on the edge. Telling the young ladies, don't go over your boyfriend's house when he tells you his parents are out of town. And we're just going to, what are we going to do? Netflix. Watch Netflix and chill. No, you can't do that. That's because it might start off like that. We just going to watch Netflix and chill. Yeah. Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? But it doesn't end like that. Just have one drink, man. You're too tense. Research says that a glass of wine is better than a glass of Coca-Cola and Pepsi. Yeah, that's true. But you don't know when to stop. You can't do that. Not for you, it's not. You need to have water or lemonade. That's it. We can't play with the extremes. We got to stay balanced. We have to know when to draw the line. So, and recognize that those are influences that are not godly that are trying to get you out of balance. As you're finishing the 2015 and stepping into 2016, just know that there's a balance that you and I, that we have to have. And Paul's begging us to live this thing. Verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. You see, it's not always just the person. You got to see what's the influence behind it. And as you're praying for them, and then Jesus gives us insight. I normally teach from Mark on this scripture, but I came to Matthew just to mix it up a little bit. Verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus aside and said, why could not we cast him out? Now we get into what we've been doing for years here. And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief. Underline that. Some of you don't even believe what this word is saying. That's why God can't operate with the power in your life, because you don't believe it. You don't trust God like you should. It's any relationship, there is no trust and there's no belief. That's an abnormal relationship. And look how amazing it is. We will, in worship, we'll tell God how much we love him. And then when it comes to giving, we can't give because we don't trust God. Husbands, when you go home tonight, get some quiet time with your wife and say, honey, I love you, but I don't trust you. And see how that goes. Just see how that goes. But here we come. We come and we do it to God all the time. God, I love you. I love you. I love you. Time to give. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. That's an abnormal relationship. You're way off balance. Here's your love and here's your trust, and you're way out of balance. And this isn't a message about money. This is a message about you being out of balance. And Paul is begging you, man, get your life in balance, that your practice and your doctrine lines up. And Jesus is saying right here, you couldn't do it because you don't even believe. Lord, I want you to bless my finances. You don't even believe what I say because you don't even give. I wish I could, but you don't even believe it. Why couldn't we cast out? Because you don't believe. Why am I still stuck in 2014 and we're going to get into 2016? Because you don't believe. And you don't trust. And that's not on God. That's on you and I. It's not my wife's fault if I'm not believing and trusting God. That's vertical. It's not horizontal. Now, it affects my horizontal. My vertical always affects my horizontal. Because I don't believe here, then I take it out on you all there. Amen. We're good? Okay. It's on this morning. Because I'm having issues up here with God, then I take it out on you there and make it seem like it's you, but it's really me that's not lined up. It's really my unbelief. It's my imbalance. It has nothing to do with her or the kids. It has to do with me and God. Amen. Let me keep going. All right. Jesus said unto them, you don't even believe what you were trying to do. You didn't believe you have the power to live right. You don't even believe that you're rich beyond anything you could ask or think. You don't even believe that. That's why it's not operating in your life. He says, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you should say unto this mountain, remove hence to go over there, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Somebody better underline that. Think about that for your 2016. What are you asking and thinking of God? Remember, it has nothing to do with money and stuff, because all that stuff is all it can do is collect dust and just... It's kind of depressing. You go in your closet. You can only wear one shirt at a time. And I like that shirt, but I go like that one. I don't care where this one. I see why some ladies, you know, change outfits 3 times a day, because you got too much stuff. It's depressing just to have one set of clothes and you got 10 shoes. It's like, man, those are sharp, but I can only wear one at one time. That's a problem. See, that's why it has nothing to do with stuff. That stuff would depress you. But you're rich in God beyond anything you could ask or think. You got to believe that. You got to believe that you can live a balanced life. Verse 20 again, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have a faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you should say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And then he goes on to say, verse 21, he said, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, this kind goes out, go not out, but by prayer and fasting. By the way, guys, you should be praying and fasting when you're trying to deal with certain types of devils. When you're going to encounter certain types of devils, you need to be praying. And by the way, you need to be praying and fasting. Otherwise, you ain't going to never be able to get rid of that. And that's why we wake up every morning praying and fasting during our quiet time, so we can put on that armor and get out and do battle. So we don't have to go into 2016 dealing with 2015 things because I've been praying and fasting on those. And trust me, it's always something. So it's not like you reach a point where you don't have to deal with stuff. You just got to be prayed and fasted up so you can deal with it. But you always got to deal with something. That's not going to change. That's always going to be there. But it depends on how you react to it or respond to it, or whether it defeats you or you live a defeated lifestyle because you don't even believe half the stuff that we read right here. Back to Ephesians. Let's finish up. Ephesians 4. Apostle Paul was reading this thing. Somebody was coming for an interview, and it says, in the church, I understand your pulpit is vacant. I should like to apply for the position. I have many qualifications. I've been a preacher with much success and also have much success as a writer. Some say I'm a good organizer. I've been a leader in most places where I've been. I'm over 50 years of age and have never preached in one place for more than 3 years. In some places, I've left town after my work caused riots and disturbances. I must admit that I've been in jail 3 or 4 times, but not because of any wrongdoing. My health is not too good, but I still accomplished a great deal. The churches that I've preached in have been small, though located in several large cities. I have not gotten along well with the religious leaders in the town where I preached. In fact, some of them have threatened me and even attacked me physically. I've been known to forget whom I've baptized. However, if you can use me, I promise to do my best for you. Then went to the board. One board member turned to the committee and said, well, what do you think? Shall we hire him? The good folks were appalled. Consider a sickly, troublemaking, absent-minded ex-jailbird? Was the board crazy? Who signed this application? Who has such colossal nerve? The board member eyed them keenly before he replied. He said, it's signed the Apostle Paul. Yeah, we wouldn't hire Paul here. We'd be like, man, get out of here. We don't want to deal with you. Isn't that something? Somebody say, man, that God shows you. It's not about you. It's about God in you. It's not about you. It's about God in you. And people look at your resume as this year is coming to a close as you step into 2016. But don't you get caught up in that. It's not about you. It's about God in you. So here is Apostle Paul when he's writing this letter from prison. In 2 Timothy, he's writing the letter to Timothy. That's right before he gets beheaded. That's where he talks about, I've fought the good fight. I've finished my course. It's time for me to be offered up. Man, I tell you, we can't even come to church. This cat's writing letters from jail, getting ready to get beheaded, encouraging us to live this thing. So here we go. Chapter 4 and verse 1. That's why he's begging us that you walk worthy of the vocation, the calling wherewith you are called. And he said, this is how you're supposed to walk. He said, with lowliness, and I broke these down. I kind of see with lowliness. He says, having a humble opinion of yourself. And with meekness, being gentle. The long suffering is just being able to endure and put up and forbear the same thing, to be able to deal with one another in love. Do we have to go back to love? Because we spent like all last month on love, what love is and what love isn't. Remember, we talked about the love. We talked about the songs. What's love got to do with it? Amen. Crazy kind of love. You remember that kind of? OK, we did. All right. Underline love, because 3:17 says we have to be rooted and grounded in love. If you're not rooted and grounded, if you're not established and your foundation is not love, you're not going to make it. Look at any type of relationship. The opposite of these are pride and selfishness. Family, husbands, wives, you're not going to make it in your relationship if no one is lowly and meek. It doesn't mean you're a doormat that somebody steps on you and kicks you to the curb and that you never get your way. That's not what a relationship is about. It's to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Paul says, as he's begging you to walk with that balance, stay humble. Be gentle. Deal with one another in love. Why? It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When you look at bond, it says bond is like a ligament. What's the ligament? The ligament is peace. So the unity of the Spirit is kept through peace. And peace is free of havoc or war or confusion. He's saying he's trying to show you how to live as a church. He's trying to show us free from havoc and war and anger and bitterness. And I thought about that. How could the ligament be peace? And I thought about it. Try and get anything done in your house in the midst of a war. Try and get anything done in your life in the midst of havoc and confusion. You're not going to get nothing done in the midst of, it says, free from rage. Go raging around your house, husband, and see what happens in your house. Wives, go raging around your house and see how your house just falls apart. Do that in your family. Just start stuff, just to start stuff. And see how far you get. He said the bond, the glue, the ligament, the joints that keeps everything together is peace. I would think it would be love, but it's peace. Because you could have love, but you're out of control. I love you, but I don't want to be with you right now. You can love somebody and be like, I don't like you. That don't make sense to me, but I've heard it. It's possible. I can love you from a distance. But he's saying the bond is peace. We got to have this thing under control. We got to have some peace. What did peace break down to? And the peace was exemption from rage and havoc or war, quietness, rest. As we're trying to accomplish all these things, he's begging us to walk right. Why? In lowliness, meekness. Why? Because we got to keep the unity of the Spirit. We got to keep it quiet in here so God can do some things. You got to keep it quiet in your house so God can move. Got to keep it quiet in your heart. Too much stuff, too much confusion, too much rage, too much anger. You get nothing done. You're a poor reflection of Jesus Christ. You're a poor reflection of the church. When you come in here and we're talking about each other and we're backbiting, and instead of greeting each other, sock somebody, slug somebody during a visitor's fellowship, we get nothing done. It's the peace is the glue that keeps everything together. He says, look, by the way, look at verse 4. By the way, there's one body. One Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. He's saying it's one body. We're all the same. All right, let me make it as plain as I can. since we're all part of the one body, as Paul even talks about, we're fitly joined together. We need each other. Amen? So Tracy's not only my wife, but since it's one body, she's my sister in Christ. Jael's not only my daughter, but she's my sister in Christ. Jalen's not only my son, but he's my brother in Christ, because it's one body. Dorothy, she's not only my mother-in-law, she's my sister in Christ. So we all on the same team. So why am I raging and wreaking havoc? Raymond's not only one of my board members here at the church, but he's my brother in Christ, too. So why am I fighting y'all? Why am I wreaking havoc? That's not just my wife, but I got to answer. How did you treat your sister in Christ? Oh, sorry, Jamaica's not only my daughter. She's not only my, Jay's not only my first daughter, my beautiful first baby, but she's my sister in Christ. Brandon's not only a good friend and a co-worker, Jamaica's boyfriend, but he's my brother in Christ too. And Kathy, you're my sister in Christ.
Yeah, why are you treating me like that?
That's right. As crazy as we are and how we get down, but the bottom line, we still belong to the same body.
Amen.
So why do I come here tripping on y'all? Why do I go home and trip on them? And see, we're responsible for that, because not only are we our other subtitles, but we are children of God, and God is going to say, you know what? You shouldn't treat anybody like that.
That's right.
That's my daughter, even though I know it's your wife, mm-hmm. but she's my daughter first. Mm-hmm. I created her before you were even created, before you even knew her.
Yes. That's right.
Watch how you treat each other. Watch how you treat your spouse and your kids. Mm-hmm. Well, that's my son. I tell him, actually, that's my son. Mm-hmm. And I entrusted him to you. I had an idea of what he was going to be even before he was formed, even before you even knew who you were. Paul is saying, I'm begging us to live this thing, because we're all one. We're a reflection of God. And the world will never be attracted to rage and war and havoc. All right, let's close this up. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. It's one Lord. It's one faith and one baptism. And he's talking to the Christians at Ephesus. It's only one God. Don't get into all this other stuff. Don't get into the cults and all those who've rejected Christ. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. We are light. We are salt. Yes, there is one God and one Father of all, who is above all. And then he's with all. That through means he's with you and he's in you. Live this thing, Paul is saying. I'm begging you, because we serve the same God. Matter of fact, he's above all. He's with you and he's in you. The rest we got to pick up next week. Let's just bow our heads for a quick minute. Oh, the challenge to live this. Oh, my God. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to live this thing. And family, we know as we step into a new year, sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction. But God's given us direction on how to walk this thing, how to live this thing. We need each other. We need God's word. We need the fellowship of the saints. I'm convinced that as we step into the new year, we're going to need each other more than ever. Amen. To cover each other in prayer, to encourage one another, to build one another up, to be reminded of how we are to live this thing, to pray and to fast daily, keep our homes free from havoc and rage, just let the bond of peace and quiet and rest. It's a reflection of God. God rested on that seventh day to give us an example. Rest. Rest in God. Lord, help us to walk this thing as husbands, as fathers, as wives, as mothers, as brothers, as sisters, as members and family of South Bay Abundant Life Church. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. And maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ. It's my personal Lord and Savior. I don't even believe that. Where Jesus said, because of their unbelief, I haven't even believed in Jesus yet. That would be my first step today. And maybe you're here. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if that's your first step. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I'm so far out of balance. My practice and my doctrine, I know what to do, but I'm doing my own thing. And I'm actually living pretty good, but I'm not studying. I'm not reading. And Pastor, I just need to get back in balance. I need to rededicate this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. We thank you, Lord. We don't have to wait for a new year because new mercies greeted us this morning. Maybe you hear and say, I just need a place to be, a place to fellowship, a place where people actually love God and believe God's word. They try their best to live it. It's no perfect church, but there are churches that are actually going after God, seeking God. And that would be us here. If that's you, you need a church home, elevate your hand. Love to be your family. We're not members, we are family. Lord, how we thank you, how we bless you, how we love you. Lord, as your spirit is moving throughout the congregation, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for challenging us this morning. Thank you for not letting us settle for less. Thank you for not letting us walk out of here and be business as usual. Thank you for convicting us, Lord. More importantly, thank you for empowering us through your Holy Spirit that we can do it because it's in us through you. We love you on today, Lord. We bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Be sure and hug somebody on your way out. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Give somebody a hug. Tell them Happy New Year. See you Thursday night. See you Thursday night at Sister Caraway's house.